If you were here a few weeks ago, you know that we got started on a series from Proverbs. And having been gone, we've been doing a few other things during worship, but we'll be spending the rest of the summer looking at wisdom's story. That's really what the book of Proverbs is all about. It's wisdom revealed in Scripture. We talked about it a bit a few weeks ago. But today, I'd like us to look at wisdom's story and discover there are four characters in the story and see if you can find yourself amongst those characters. Because as you look there and find yourself, you can see how you can respond and what God's calling you to do. As you think about wisdom's story, let me just start by telling you, don't be that guy. In our culture today, in Western culture, American culture, one thing is apparent. We're a culture that believes that people should not judge. In fact, if there was a verse that characterizes the Christian church today, it's probably Jesus' words in Matthew 7:1. Do not judge. Now, you know, in the context that it isn't quite as straightforward as that, the Bible does call us to make judgments. It calls us to be discerning. It calls us to evaluate our lives and even evaluate people in the church. Nevertheless, if you turn on the TV and you listen to people who claim to be Christians, you'll hear them say, well, that's not my job to judge. And ultimately, they're right. Ultimately, that's something we need to learn, that God is the one who is the ultimate judge and not us. I think one of the reasons that our culture is so anti-judgment is because of perhaps the excesses of religious people who in their religiosity have also been holier than thou and have looked down on other people because they don't share the same vices as other people. You know how it is. Every culture has certain vices that are one is worse than another. And it's the people who don't have the bad vices, if there is such a thing, that look down on those who do. And in our culture, the vices have changed. But those who condemn certain sins and hold them up as the key sins are seen as bad people because they're judging others. No, it's not our responsibility to judge. And yet, as true as that is, it's interesting that the Bible does tell us that people are supposed to repent. I don't know how that picture comes across to you, a finger pointing, saying, repent. God's finger is pointing at you. But if you're like me, there's something about that picture that seems a little bit like we've gone back to the slide before, judging. How is it that the Bible can challenge people to repent? How can we challenge people to repent without being judgmental? Well, that's the part of wisdom's story that I want us to look at today, because it's a challenge for us to look at ourselves and to evaluate what this has to say to us as well as what it has to say to those around us. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 1, because we're going to look at these people in wisdom's story to see how this teaches us how we can repent and help people repent without being judgmental. Let me just read these verses and then we'll look at them together. It begins in verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 1. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery? And fools hate knowledge. turn back to my rebuke. Then I would pour out my heart to you and make my thoughts known to you. But you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand. Since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when the distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. So if we're to understand wisdom's story, if we're supposed to learn how we are to recognize the need for repentance without being judgmental, we have to look at the players in the story. Verse 22 gives us these players. They are... There are three of them that are given to us in verse 22. The fourth one we'll look at a little bit later on. The first one we could call the gullible. A few weeks ago when we started this, we touched on these people. But you'll appreciate and learn more from the study of Proverbs if you recognize these people, these characters who come up again and again in the book. The gullible. If I can sell you a bridge, you're probably pretty gullible. If I can sell you a concept for a dollar, you're probably gullible. Gullible is simply somebody who's not sophisticated in their thinking. They haven't worked out the way things really are in life. In many ways, when I think of gullible people, I think of little children. And I think in the book of Proverbs, the gullible are really looked at as children. Maybe young teens who think that they know everything but really haven't experienced much of anything and consequently are in danger. Because any time we think we know more than we do, we're in danger of being fooled. That's what the gullible is. The gullible is the one, I think, really, that the book of Proverbs is aimed at, the simple-minded. Because the gullible person, the simple person, the child, is the one who can best be taught. It's interesting, if you know the history of modern Christianity, one of the things you've probably learned is that most people make decisions to trust Christ, to follow God, when they're in their, before they turn 18. And there is something about our lives that we get kind of set in our ways and stuck in our ruts, and it becomes harder and harder to change. And so these gullible, these simple, are also, while they're in danger, they're also the most pliable. You might call them the empty-headed, because their minds aren't yet formed. They haven't figured everything out, and there's still room to be shaped. So hopefully some of you can be this morning those who are empty but open to hearing. Then there's actually the verse 22 gives us this person last. But I'd like to give him next, and that is the fool. If the gullible are the empty-headed, the fool are the wrong-headed. That is, they're headed in the wrong direction. If you remember a few weeks ago, one of the characteristics of fools is that they listen to themselves rather than to other people. When a wise person speaks to a fool, they turn off the wisdom of that person. Whether it's a teacher or a parent or a police officer or whoever it is who represents wisdom, they don't listen. The wrong-headed person is a person who's in great danger in the book, because very seldom do you see fools change. In fact, it does happen. Over in chapter 26 and verse 3, it talks about the rod is for the fool. In other words, sometimes you can beat sense into a fool. Sometimes the school of hard knocks is the only thing that makes sense to a fool. But as you read through the book of Proverbs, you discover that when people get to that wrong-headed point where they're not focused on what wisdom has to say, what God has to say, it gets very hard to change them. So there's the empty-headed, there's the wrong-headed, and then there's the pig-headed, the mocker. If in a continuum, the gullible is the most likely to be changed, the fool is less likely to be changed, and the mocker is almost impossible to change. He or she is the person who sets themselves up in opposition to wisdom. They refuse to listen. They are determined to do their own thing and to live their own way and reap the consequences. So, in this story about wisdom, we have these three characters. At the outset of the story, we discover that wisdom cries out. It says, wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateway of the city, she makes her speech. Verses 20 and 21 are spoken of impersonally. Wisdom is talked about as an abstract, but practically speaking, wisdom speaks in the public sphere. Maybe it's the speech of a parent who loves his child and wants him to make the right decision. Maybe it's the speech of a teacher who sees a child, a student, heading in the wrong direction and wants to correct her. Maybe it's the speech of a God-fearing preacher who wants to point people to God. There are all kinds of ways that wisdom speaks, and there are all kinds of voices of wisdom in our society. It's spoken of in perhaps abstract terms here, but you can think of wisdom in terms of the people who have spoken or who speak wisdom into your life. The point is that this message of wisdom, this message of encouragement and challenge, this message pointing people in the right direction is all around us. Unfortunately, when you look at these three characters, especially in this section of the book of Proverbs, they're not very interested in wisdom's message. In fact, that's really the danger of this message this morning, is that wisdom speaks. Wisdom is speaking. Wisdom is all around us in many fashions, but in the cacophony of different voices and in the selfishness and self-centeredness of ourselves, we may choose to ignore it or to listen to other voices. And that's exactly what happened to these three. It says in verse 24, but since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored my advice and would not accept my rebuke, the fool, the gullible, the mocker in this particular part of the story, chosen to ignore wisdom. Whether it's the policeman, the teacher, the principal, the guidance counselor, the parent, this is a warning to those who refuse to listen. In fact, this whole story is a story of contrast between what happens to those who refuse to listen and what happens to those who do listen. For those who refuse to listen, the results are catastrophic. And to make that point, the verses that follow are a chiasm. Let me go back just for a second. A chiasm is kind of like that picture. The first part is kind of reflected in the second part. So when you look at a beautiful scene in a still lake, you see the same picture kind of upside down. And in many ways, in terms of structure, when you look at a chiasm in the book of Proverbs or in the Bible, it does something similar. So let me just show you as we walk through this. He says, if you had responded or turned back and respond to my rebuke. It depends on your translation. Even the New International Version, my version actually is a little bit older, and it says, if you had responded to my rebuke. I think the newer translations say, turn back to my rebuke, something like that. And I think that's a better, in the context, that's a better understanding, that wisdom is challenging these three characters, the gullible, the fool, and the mocker, and saying, listen, listen to what I have to say to you. Turn back, and I would pour out my heart to you and make my thoughts known to you. But unfortunately, they don't listen. Wisdom is exasperated because these are people who don't want to listen. And those of you who are parents who've been through that period of time called the teenage years with your kids, know that every teenager, all of us, have moments of exasperating our parents. Because in those moments, we know far better than our parents know. Now, sometimes we do, but let me just give you a little bit of word of encouragement if you're a teenager. Give your parents the benefit of the doubt. It can save you a lot of grief. But in this case, the gullible, the fool, the mocker, they don't do it. The gullible are condemned. It says, but since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. These verses are very similar, but it ultimately, it's just trying to make a strong point. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. And finally, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. The words of wisdom sound harsh, and in many ways they are. It's the law of the consequence. Now, we like the law of the consequence when somebody offends us, or somebody sins against us, or the crime is against us, we don't like the law of consequence when we're the ones who have done the offending. But all this is simply saying that wisdom warns. If you don't listen, you're going to face the consequence. And it's interesting, in verse 24, it says, since you rejected me when I called, and then verse 28, it says, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. Wisdom first says, you didn't listen to me. The consequence when we fail to learn from wisdom is that ultimately we're going to pay a price. And when that comes, it's too late to change it. That's this message of this story of wisdom. For those who refuse to listen, there are disastrous consequences. And in those times, when that time comes, it's too late. Now, sometimes you see that in this life. You see people who make choices and they get involved. I was thinking this week as I was working on this sermon, the story that took place over in New Hope, Pennsylvania, this tragic story of teens involved in drug possession. And one or two of them, I guess, turned on the others, and four people were killed. And it's just a tragic story. Sometimes you make your choices and you get involved with the wrong people, and when it all comes down, it's too late to turn around. I mean, the book of Proverbs, we'll see this as we go through the book, and if you read through the book, you'll find the warnings against getting involved with the wrong people. If you get in with the wrong crowd, you're risking a lot. And the story from New Hope is a story of exactly that. And so there are some judgments that take place in this life, some things that happen, and when you get to that point, it's too late to turn around. But obviously in this life, there are also opportunities to learn. The book of Proverbs will warn us that even fools, as I said, can learn through hard knocks, through the rod. And sometimes we're pretty foolish people, but we go through those hard times, and there is, in the difficulties that we face, God's mercy saying, here's another chance to get it right. But at some point, you continue to make foolish, stupid, God-dishonoring choices, and you'll reap the consequences. That's the message of the Bible as a whole. I know it's not popular for people to hear, but the Bible is clear that God is just and God is holy, and that ultimately sin must be judged and our unholiness will be dealt with. It may not be a popular message, but if it's a true message, we're foolish if we don't listen to it just because we don't like it. And you know, in our culture, people don't like that message. It's a message that people associate with judgmentalism. But it's not our judgment. If there is a God, and if He is holy, and if He will be just, then justice demands a consequence. The story of these three characters is they didn't listen to wisdom's advice. They didn't listen to wisdom's warning, wisdom's rebuke. And because they didn't listen, eventually they face judgment. And at that point, it's too late. The things these three have in common in this story are found in verses 29 and 30. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, And since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, this can be characteristic of gullible fools and mockers. It's almost certainly true for mockers. It's usually true for fools. And if you're in that in-between stage as a gullible person, it's your choice whether you're going to learn. But it says, they will eat the fruit of their ways, and they will be filled with the fruit of their schemes. In other words, you are what you eat. And if you choose to eat that stuff that's wrong, there will be consequences. That's the message of the book of Proverbs. It's the message of the Bible. Is that judgmentalism? I don't think so. Because this message is not for me to look at you and say, you're doing this, so you stand under judgment. This message is for me as a gullible, empty-headed person to get my thinking straight so that I can make the right choice. It's for the fool who's been living away from God and living at a distance from God to learn through the school of hard knocks that ultimately there are consequences to sin. It's for the mocker, whether she or he chooses to listen, but there are consequences to the life that is chosen. The story of the book of the story of wisdom is a story that those who refuse to listen, those who turn their backs on wisdom's plea, will face the consequences. But there's a fourth character in this story that you've already gotten a glimpse of in verse 33. And I don't have a slide for him, but he or she is the wise person. This is really the focus of this book, is to help us choose wisely, to choose rightly. And it says, whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. So in contrast to those who turn their back on the pleas of wisdom, whether it's the plea of a parent, a preacher, a policeman, a counselor, whoever is that wisdom, when you turn your back on it, there are consequences. If you accept it, there's blessing. The blessing is, whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Understand, when you think about the book of Proverbs and you think about it as a way of wisdom, so often, we saw this a few weeks ago, we think of wisdom in an abstract way, but the wisdom of Proverbs is a wisdom that says there is a God, He has created a moral universe, and if we live understanding how He has created His universe and live in keeping with what He wants, then ultimately, now and in the future, our lives will be better. That's a synopsis of the book of Proverbs. It takes specific glimpses of who you hang out with and your sexual activities and your honesty in business and all those different things that are spoken of throughout the book. But ultimately it comes down to, do you listen to God and the way of wisdom or not? If not, ultimately that'll be disastrous. And you and I know that the message of the entirety of the Bible is that because God is holy, for those who refuse His holiness, for those who refuse to say, you know, what I've done is wrong, and I've turned my back on you, God, and I failed to follow you, the only solution, actually, that the Bible gives is not that we become better people or we try to work harder, because any of us who is honest with ourselves know that we don't do that very well. ultimately we have to realize that God provided a way. The person of Jesus Christ, this whole story of Jesus, is that God recognized us, saw our sinfulness, saw that we couldn't change ourselves, and so he sent his Son. And he paid the penalty for our sins. And he offers to you and to me that relationship with him. And as I embrace Jesus and accept that forgiveness, then I can live out this life with his power to be a wise person, living consistent with the standards that God calls. And when I fail and don't do it, I come back and I confess and I get right with him. But wise people recognize the call of wisdom and they respond. See, the message that I hope you'll take away in this story of wisdom is there are four characters. Don't be the first three. Because they all share the same thing in common. They hate knowledge, they refuse to listen, they do their own thing, and they reap the consequences. The fourth character, the wise man, the wise woman, listens to wisdom's call, responds to the rebuke, and repents. Ultimately, for us, it's a repentance that recognizes that Jesus is the answer. And that in believing in Jesus, we surrender our lives to follow God's path and wisdom's path. So that we experience the blessings and the security of being God's people. It's not just a New Testament message. It's wrapped up in all of the Bible. But what difference does that make to us? Well, again, remember, this message is not for the person sitting next to you. That's what makes us judgmental. I think, boy, I hope my wife is listening to this. My son really needs to hear this message. That may be true, but this is a message for you. This is a message for me, and when wisdom speaks, wisdom is saying to you and to me, what have you done with God's truth? Whether you like it or not, it's not a popular message. You can choose to not believe this. I guarantee you the gullible, the fool, and the mocker have made that choice. And there are people who will be your teachers in school, who will be your bosses, who will be your political leaders, who will tell you, that's just a bunch of religious stuff. That's your choice. But the message of the Bible is pretty consistent. And if there is a holy God, we want him to be a God of justice. We just have to take into account the fact that we so often fail to be the people he wants us to be. And there will be a payday someday for the sins of this world. So repent. Recognize your failings. Recognize your need of forgiveness. Ultimately, recognize your need of a Savior and trust in Jesus. This message from the Old Testament is so much a gospel message, even though it doesn't mention Jesus. He is our only hope because we keep falling on our face and we need his righteousness. But then, as you read through this book, recognize these words are words to you. And then help other people at that point, when you've gone through it, to realize wisdom's warnings. I know it's not popular to tell people that judgment is coming, but so often Christians point it out as if it doesn't impact us. Judgment is coming on all of humanity, on this whole world. And we all stand condemned before God and His wisdom as lawbreakers and those who have failed. So we need to get right with God, and we need to warn other people that they need to be right with God. We don't stand as holier than thou. We stand as equally in need of grace. But you may be here today and you may think, I don't think I buy that. That's your call. But this isn't my story. This is wisdom's story. And you've probably heard it before from a parent or a teacher or a counselor or a preacher. And all I want you to know is, if it is true, you need to live your life and make your decisions in keeping with that truth. Because if it's true, there are consequences for ignoring it. And if it's true, there is hope and security for those who put their trust in God, recognize His provision, and find His forgiveness. Let's bow together. Lord God, I realize this message is countercultural. It's not what's popular today. But it's without question in my mind exactly what the Bible says. And because I believe that it's true, I pray that you would convict each of us of those areas where we have been foolish, empty-headed, and pig-headed, and rebelled against you. Lord, may we listen to your Spirit and repent of those things that we have done wrong. And Father, if there's anyone here who's never trusted in Jesus Christ to find the ultimate forgiveness of sin, I pray this might be the day in which they come to realize that it is what a just and holy God not only provides, but it is the only provision for our failings. Thank you, Lord, that in the midst of wisdom's warning, there is wisdom's promise. I pray we would be people who listen wisely to what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen.